This is New England Public Radio's Jazz Beat. I'm Tom Reaney with a podcast edition of my jazz blog, which you can find at nepr.net. Today's blog focuses on New England jazz legend Dick Johnson. Dick Johnson's 90th birthday anniversary was December 1st, 2015. The Brockton, Massachusetts native who died in 2010 at age 84 came to prominence in the 50s, one of the legion of Charlie Parker-influenced alto saxophonists then populating the jazz world. A better-known member of that tribe, Springfield's Phil Woods, died last fall at age 83. Like Phil, who earned his degree at Juilliard in 1952, Johnson was a conservatory-trained clarinetist who studied at New England Conservatory in the late 40s. Unlike Phil, for whom New York became a beacon when he was in his mid-teens, Johnson spent most of his life living near Brockton and working in the greater Boston area. Dick Johnson, trumpeter Lou Colombo, and pianist Dave McKenna will always be yoked as New England jazz greats who brought real luster to the region's music scene for well over a half century. They were also among that rare breed of bebop-oriented players who became stylists for all seasons and occasions. Johnson and his Brockton compatriot Colombo co-led a combo for a dozen years beginning in 1960, and Johnson joined McKenna for a few years at the Columns on Cape Cod in the early 70s. That's where I first saw them, and the experience was formative in shaping my understanding of the jazz life and an appreciation for the tunes that form the core of the American songbook. In a 1975 cover story for Jazz New England, Dick said that Colombo, who was as garrulous as Johnson was cool, was a perfect partner for a group that needed to play both jazz standards and contemporary pop. Of McKenna, he said, "Dave is a perennial. He can go any bag. He'll gas the most modern mind and the most moldy fig. Dave McKenna's an out-and-out genius." In a 1983 interview, Johnson recalled that when he first heard the 18-year-old McKenna in 1948 sitting in on a jam session in Brockton, he became my favorite pianist after one introduction. Johnson played in the Navy Band during World War II, and upon discharge in 1946, heard Parker and Dizzy Gillespie on record for the first time. "We really thought the buzz about Bird was kind of strange until we got the records," he said, "but then we knew it was something else." He toured with Charlie Spivak and Buddy Morrow for several years in the 50s. In the latter outfit, he played in the orchestra and was featured in a small group from within the band's ranks, much like the small groups led by two of his favorite clarinet-playing bandleaders, Benny Goodman and Artie Shaw. Johnson led two quartet sessions for major jazz labels in the mid-50s. A 1956 date for MRC, Music for Swinging Moderns, was an all-standards album recorded in Chicago with colleagues from Morrow's band. The following year, he made Most Likely, which featured McKenna in the premier rhythm section of Wilbur Ware, who was then working with Thelonious Monk and John Coltrane, and Philly Joe Jones of the Miles Davis Quintet. Both sessions feature Johnson exclusively on alto, and while they're both excellent, neither album nor his appearance at the Newport Jazz Festival in 1957 pushed him to the front ranks. It would be 16 years before Johnson recorded again on a Dave McKenna date, and 23 before he made another album as a leader. Here he is in 1957.
One, two, three, four.
The Jazz New England feature, Johnson said that Goodman, with whom he'd played, was an early favorite along with Louis Armstrong, but he favored Shaw because he had a much more modern approach to music. "I can't overstress the Shaw influence," he said. "To me, this guy is like a missing link in the jazz world. There was Armstrong, and then they figured there was no real biggie until Charlie Parker." Actually, most jazz historians give great prominence to the innovative approach of Lester Young in the late 30s, but Artie was Johnson's man. "I think Shaw was so perfect that they took him for granted. He was playing bebop lines before anybody knew what was happening." Here's Artie Shaw's recording of Fennessy. Shaw, who for all intents and purposes retired from music around 1954, remained a distant hero for Johnson through the years. But on December 18, 1980, Artie wrote to Johnson's manager and said, "You wanted to hear what I think of Dick Johnson's clarinet playing. Okay, as of this time, he's the best I've ever heard, bar nobody, and you can quote me on that anywhere, anytime." Here's Johnson with Dave McKenna playing Charlie Parker's Shaw Nuff. Thank you. 3 years later, when Shaw answered many years of urgent calls to begin fronting a new touring orchestra, it was Johnson who got the call to play the clarinet solos. And 2 years after that, when Shaw tired of conducting duties, Johnson took over as bandleader. For Johnson, it was all a dream come true, and he said as much to the audience gathered for the annual Jazz Educators Convention in Long Beach, California, in 2005. There he accepted the NEA Jazz Masters Award for Artie Shaw, who died a month earlier. Johnson said, "If I ever knew as a kid that I was going to be leading his band, I wouldn't be here today. I'd have been too scared." I'll never forget the sound of Johnson's telltale Brockton accent filling the auditorium in Long Beach as he talked about Shaw and what an honor it was to be associated with his idol. I never knew Johnson personally, but he was my hero that night. I saw Dick Johnson in many different settings between 1972 and 2008. Two of the most memorable involved his clarinet playing. On a cold winter's night in 2003, Dick was playing with Columbo and a bassist in the tiny parlor of an inn in Chatham on Cape Cod. It played alto for the several selections that I arrived in time to hear, and at the end of the set he asked the enthusiastic crowd of about 10 patrons what we wanted to hear. I spoke up and asked for something on clarinet, and he obliged with a thrilling performance of After You've Gone, one that began at medium tempo and picked up speed with each successive chorus. The last time I saw him in concert was in New Salem, Massachusetts, a rural town bordering the Quabbin Reservoir 80 miles west of Boston. He played alto for most of that gig, too, but what I'll long remember is a performance of Memories of You that he played in the middle of the second set with what appeared to be a cold clarinet. It didn't matter. Artie Shaw's favorite was still at his best at age 81. It's appropriate that the last time I saw Dick Johnson was at Dave McKenna's memorial service in Woonsocket, Rhode Island, in 2008. Johnson and McKenna came of age during the bebop era, and that music was always in their hearts. But for working musicians, playing modern jazz exclusively would hardly sustain a livelihood, so they specialized in standards and swing, music for dancing and conversation. Theirs was a social music, and they played it with a sense of style and conviction that may have passed right along with them. Thank you. For additional features on Dick Johnson, visit the jazz blog at nepr.net. Thanks to Katie Wright for production assistance. For Jazz Beat, I'm Tom Reaney.